you would, get your Bible, 1 Corinthians chapter 13. I appreciate you so much being in church this morning, and it means so much to me. Now, gentlemen, I won't need you right off the beginning, so y'all just kind of sit tight. I'm going to use our men here in just a little bit, so you might stand for a while if you stand there. And not going to preach a long time, but I don't want you to just keep standing, all right? So find a place and sit down. I'm joking. All right. I'm joking. All right, now you can sit. I don't want you to stand forever, though. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse number 1, 1 Corinthians 13. Now, many has deemed this, and of course, correctly so, has deemed this the love chapter, and it is. It is, but there's a lot to this chapter, and the Lord, I'll tell you why I'm preaching this this morning here in just a little bit. And but 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse number 1, the Bible says, "Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and have not charity, I am become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profits me nothing." Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, again, we thank you for the opportunity to preach for just a little bit this morning. We thank you for these dear people that came this morning. Lord, we know there was several things that was working against us this morning that, Lord, just naturally, losing an hour of sleep, Lord, sometimes it does throw our bodies off a little bit, makes us more tired. And God, then looking out the window and seeing snow, Lord, there's some folks that certainly can't see when it's sunny, much less when it's raining or snowing. Lord, we understand that. But God, we do thank you for those that came this morning, was able, didn't have to work, they were just here. And Lord, we thank you for all the workers that we don't see today. There's literally dozens of folks out here in buildings working and teaching and laboring. We thank you for them. Lord, we ask that you'll bless this service now in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to preach just a few minutes this morning on charity. On charity. What is charity? Now, when I first took the church here almost 10 months ago, this April 1st will be almost 10 months ago, on a Sunday evening, I believe it was, I preached along these lines, and many of you were not here. Obviously, it was on a Sunday night, and then there's lots of you that came since we've been here, and I praise the Lord for that. So many of you in here have not heard this message, and really this is I've preached this message before, but God did something this week on my heart, and then he used a little statement yesterday that one of our men said to me while we were working at the ladies' meeting, and it prompted me. The Holy Spirit said, "That's what you need to do in the morning." And so I kind of fought him a little bit, but this is what the Lord wanted for this morning, but it's on charity. On charity. This is going to make or break our church in the future. This is what's going to separate our church from being an average church or the average kind of church or whatever. This is going to separate us and making it from an average church to a great church for the Lord. This right here. If we can get a hold of this little thought, this will change your life. It will change the way you think, the way you love people. It'll change it. I want you to notice some things about charity. I want to give you the dictionary definition of charity. Then I want to give you the charity definition that I believe the Bible speaks of. Charity in the dictionary is the disposition, that disposition of heart, which inclines men to think favorably of their fellow men and to do them good. And I really don't have a problem with that definition. I believe that's a pretty good definition right there of what charity is. But I believe charity goes way deeper, according to the Bible, than what the definition in the Webster's Dictionary does. The definition that I think the Bible brings out of charity is a lifestyle of giving, seasoned with the Holy Ghost, loving men the way that we've been loved by the Lord. That's a pretty good definition. Now, not because I put it on there. I believe that is a Bible definition. Can I read it to you one more time? A lifestyle of giving, seasoned with the Holy Ghost, loving men the way that we have been loved by the Lord. If you look at our chapter again, and please keep your Bible open to this chapter, and we'll go verse by verse and kind of go along these lines. But I want you to see some things that are pressing, some things that are pressing here in verses 1, really through verses the first part of verse number 8. We see the things that are pressing, charity, the requirements of charity in verses 1 through 3. I just read them to you. I'll read it again. It says, "Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and have not charity, I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing." That's a lot of work right there. And we see the work that we exhibit. Verse 1 says, the work we exhibit. Verse 1 says, it's not my speech. Charity, loving people the way that we've been loved by the Lord, is not my speech. So it doesn't matter, church, look at me, it doesn't matter what we say, it only matters if we possess charity. There's a lot of people out here today that say, "Well, I love this person," or "I do this for people," or "Preacher, you don't understand, I do that for people." But hold on, that is not charity. It's not your speech. A lot of people out here have the right lingo. They have the right statements. They say all the correct things, but the Bible says it's not my speech, because it says, "Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels." So, you could have fluent, very good. I mean, you could be an orator when you get up here and people could just hang on every word that you say. That does not possess charity. So it's not my speech. Well, according to verse 2, I want you to look at verse 2. It says, "And though I have the gift of prophecy and understands all mysteries and all knowledge," it's not my study. Charity is not my speech and it's not my study. You know, there's a lot of folks out here that's a whole lot smarter than I am. I'm talking about right here. You know, you have book knowledge, you study. Hey, there's men out here that know. I look out here and see Brother Hughes and see Brother Will and men that has been in the ministry for years and years. And they, I know good and well they have more biblical knowledge than I do. And men that have been in the way for many years. But you know what, Brother Will and Brother Hughes, the Bible says it's not my study. Because it says in verse 2, "And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand not some mysteries, all mysteries." Man, that the Bible just told me that it doesn't matter if you understand everything, that is not charity. Now, look at the latter part of verse 2. The Bible says, "And all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains," it's not my spirituality. I am preaching to some people today that you are very spiritual people, or you wouldn't be here this morning. I'm preaching to some folks this morning that you are saved, you've been baptized, you have been growing spiritually for years, you love God, you love church, you love your Bible, and you're a spiritual person. You read your Bible, you try to read it daily, you try to pray daily, you do all these things, and that's good. Hey, your preacher wished that everybody had that, everybody did that. Hey, you're spiritual if you do that, but hold on, the Bible says, "And though I have all faith so that I can remove mountains and have not charity, I'm nothing." So it doesn't matter how spiritual you are this morning, if you possess not charity, you are nothing. Now, look at it again. In verse number 3, in the first part of verse number 3, "And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor," it's not my service. Think about that. If I bestow all my goods this morning to a kid out here that does not, he rode the bus and he's poor and he doesn't have nothing, or I find an adult out here that's, I mean, just, you could look, I was in McDonald's the other day and there was a lady that come in and you've probably seen her before. This is not the first time I'd seen her, but she has dogs and she stays back there. Her and a man stays behind the Target. And they've got a couple dogs, and I watched them. I followed them back. They go into these woods, and they live back there. I tried to witness a very hard people, but I watched her, and her clothes are literally falling off of her with holes, and her hair was matted, and it looked like she hadn't took in weeks and months. And then she bought these. She had enough money to buy McDonald's burgers, but she gave them to her dog. I watched it. It was sad that them dogs were eating better than these people.
I watched that, and boy, I thought, boy, if I had everything that I had, and I went up to that woman and said, here's my truck, here's my wallet, here's my things that I have, my earthly possessions, if I gave it to that woman, the Bible still says, that's not charity. If I bestow all my goods to feed the poor. You say, preacher, where are you getting at? Well, Paul's saying some things here. I'm getting somewhere. Look at the latter part of verse 3. And though I give my body to be burned, it's not my sacrifice. Now, I don't know anybody in here this morning that is giving your body as a martyr to the Lord. Literally, giving your body to be burned at the stake. Now, we know some. Listen, we've read about them in Fox's Book of Martyrs. We read about these people through the centuries that gave their life. They literally were beheaded, or they were burned at the stake, or they were drugged through the streets, and they were tortured for the faith and killed. Hey, and that's special. That's wonderful. That is, man, somebody that loves God that much and stands for the faith that much, it's great. But folks, the Bible says, and though I give my body to be burned, that's not charity. I mean, that's I can't, you know, what Paul was saying here was saying, boy, he said a mouthful that it's not my speech, it's not my study, it's not my spirituality, it's not my service, it's not my sacrifice. That's a lot of work right there. That's the work we exhibit. But I want you to notice some things. Not only is the work we exhibit, but I want you to notice the waste we experience. Go back to verse 1 again, if you would, please. Notice what it says. It says that though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, notice what this waste we experience. I am become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. You know what they think when we don't possess charity? It's just a bunch of noise. What we do when we don't have charity in our hearts and in our lives is when we do it, it's just like somebody going out here and beating a bunch of pots and pans. And you're like, oh, stop. Oh, that's awful. That's just a bunch of noise. I'm getting a headache. That's exactly what God thinks about it when we do things that does not have charity in it. It's noise. Sounding brass. Hey, the waste we experience, it's my sound. Hey, notice in the latter part of verse 2. And though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, notice these three words. I am nothing. It's my substance. And then I want you to notice number 3. Look at verse 3 in the latter part. And have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. So what's Paul saying? If you do not have charity, it's like your life is making a bunch of noise and is profiting you absolutely not one thing. It didn't say it's profiting a little, Brother Wayne. It didn't say it's profiting you a little bit. It says you're absolutely not profiting nothing. I promise you this, you would not do the things you do if you knew it didn't profit you. You would not, hey, if you knew that going to church on Sunday was not causing you to get closer to God, many of you would say, what's the use of me going to church? I say amen to that. But here's what Paul's saying. If your life does not possess charity, you're not profiting at all. It's just a bunch of noise. Now this, folks, I didn't expect to get a whole lot of amens on this first part. Because, let me just tell you right now, thank you, Brother Wayne, a man that possesses everything that I just preached right here, Brother Wayne, full of charity. This is pretty depressing, to be honest, in the first part. Because you find out that, man, all that work, and I don't have a whole lot of charity. The Bible says that I'm wasting some things. But then I want you to notice not only the requirement of charity, but I want you to listen. Look at verses 4 through 8, the realness of charity, the realness of charity. Look at verses 4 through 8. The Bible says, charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Now notice verse 8, charity never faileth. But whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. I want you to see the realness of charity. Look, charity, number one, I want you to notice charity cares. Charity cares. It says right there in verse 4 again, charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity simply cares about people. Charity cares. Can I ask you a question, church? Everybody listen. I know you're tired. I know it's dreary outside. I know it's probably gotten a little warm in here, but I want you to stay with me. It'll change your life. Listen. Charity genuinely cares not about self, but about others. It's literally putting others before you. Charity cares. Charity, notice what the Bible says. Charity not only cares, but charity is kind. So it's like kind. Like people are actually kind to one another and do things for each other. And know that, you know, when you genuinely care about somebody, you do something for them with nothing in return. So when you literally possess charity, you find ways to be good to people, and you're not wanting recognition for it. Can I give you an example? Me and Brother Daniel Bowman yesterday. Brother Daniel, if you would stand. I'm not trying to, but Brother Daniel, if you would stand. Brother Daniel's, I ain't going to say relatively new to our church. Many of you know him. He's been here for several, how long? Back in the fall, late summer actually. And he came down here, and of course, Allie, and we thank God. Of course, he's been through the fire since then. The devil fought him tooth and nail. You can sit down, Brother Daniel. Thank you. Brother Daniel, he helped me yesterday in the men, in the ladies' meeting. We served some of the ladies, and there was other men that was involved. As I was sitting at the table, and just me and Brother Daniel sat there for probably half an hour talking, he said, "Preacher," he said, and I don't really even know what spawned the conversation, to be honest, but he said, I really enjoy doing things for people and them not knowing it. I like doing that. He said, This church that I came from, he said, what we would do, he said, is we would have little, almost little business card-like things printed up, and we always had some type of, our preacher encouraged us to pay it forward to folks. And he said, not for self-esteem or not for our own recognition, but like, for instance, if we seen and the Holy Spirit saw, maybe prompted you, if you were sitting in a restaurant and you seen somebody across the way and the Holy Spirit just said, hey, I want you to buy their meal, that you didn't fight the Holy Spirit, you just did it. Or if you were in the drive-thru and you were going through, and what you would do is when you'd get to the counter, you would lay that card down on the counter and say, hey, I want their ticket, but I want you to give them this when they go up here to, they find out that their bill's been paid. And what it is, it just said something about the church on it. It doesn't have your name on it. Doesn't have my name on it, I don't think. It just has the church name on it, and they flip it around. It has the service times on it. Just a little way of saying, hey, we want you to try. You know, a lot of folks out here don't go nowhere. And they would find out that, hey, somebody loves God at that church enough to do something for me. He said, "Preacher, we did that." And he said, "Man, you would be surprised." He said, "Man, it's happened to me, and it has me too. And I've bought other people's meals before. I never thought about it. We just walk out, and man, you feel good. After you do something like that, you feel good. Man, it makes you feel good. Hey, I did something. But hold on, what if we took that, every one of us, and took that kind of lifestyle home with us? And not occasionally when we have the money to do it, or when we got paid and maybe got a little extra bonus, or maybe around tax season we got a little extra, so, you know, man, we're just good with our money now. Man, I can afford to do. No, I'm talking about we literally got this in our soul and in our heart and in our life, where we constantly were looking for ways to be a blessing to somebody else. Constantly. We live that way. I'm challenging our church today to get a hold of this thing of charity and look for somebody today or somebody this week to be good to and expect absolutely nothing in return. Not one thing. Well, man, I am so glad you bought my meal. I did not know. Yeah, well, you know, we just wanted to be good to somebody today. No. I'm not looking for that. Deny it if you have to. We ain't the only ones that go down there. I don't know who it was. You know, act like you don't even know what they're talking about. But at the same time, be good to people. Listen, be good to people and love people and genuinely care about people. Hey, I'm not just talking about buying somebody's meal. I'm not talking about just doing something. I'm talking about if you know somebody has a need, a genuine need, and maybe they're just down and some things have happened and you find out about it and you go in a roundabout way to find a way to meet that need. Hey, that's exactly what charity is about. Finding a need and filling that need. We see not only charity cares, but we see charity's contentment. Look at verse number 4, the latter part. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up. Doth not behave itself unseemly. Seeketh not her own. Is not easily provoked. Thinketh no evil. Notice, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in truth. Notice what it says in verse 4. It says that it envieth not. We see charity's contentment. You know what charity's content? When you have charity, look at me, you're actually content with what God's given you. Instead of looking at the Joneses or looking at the Smiths or looking at someone across your way and you're saying, boy, I wish, God, I wish you just give me what they've got. I don't understand. They've got this and I've got this. You know what that is? That is not being content. It's not being content. You look, I believe that's one of the problems that Facebook and all these other social media accounts have created, is you watch somebody. By the way, Facebook is not reality. Y'all understand that? I mean, that is not real life. You know, only people post pictures that they deem good pictures. How many pictures have you deleted? Now, there are some folks that just don't flat out care. Facebook probably ought to ban. Amen? Lord. I just had some visual things come through my mind, and that's bad. There's some folks that, you know. But for the most part, Facebook, people only post things that gets the likes. You know. I mean, you post things that just get the like. And that's not reality. Oh, I had a good day today. Oh, I did this. Oh, don't you think this picture looks good? Oh, a lot of us don't post the down times. We don't post the thing. And by the way, I don't encourage you to do that. But here's the deal. A lot of times when we're scrolling through Facebook, and all you see is somebody got a new car, somebody got a new house, somebody got a new set of shoes or a pair of shoes, somebody got a new set of clothes, somebody's doing this, somebody went to Disney World, somebody went to Gatlinburg, somebody did this. And all you do is sit there and say, now God, look at all these people. They're going, they got all these new things. God, what about me? When are you going to bless me? Charity envieth. Charity envieth not. By the way, preachers are just as bad. Because what preachers do is we scroll through and so-and-so had a record day. So-and-so had a $33,000 offering. So-and-so had four people saved. Do you realize, though, that, and to be honest, and I'm up here confessing, one day you might have a special offering, to God be the glory, but it may be the next Sunday the bottom falls out. You going to post that? Most preachers only post their good days. You're not going to post, man, I don't know where everybody was at today. The rapture must have took place. I'm left behind. People pray. Church, man, we're going to fold up next week. Man, where's everybody at? That would be a good post for a preacher. Where's everybody at? You know what, though? I'll be honest. Preachers can fall into that category of the same thing. Boy, I wish I pastored those people. They look faithful. And when you get over there, they got the same problems your people had, or worse. You get over there and, hey, you say, boy, I wish they seem faithful. Folks, listen, if we all got in a room together and we just started sharing, everybody in here, it doesn't matter if you've got a big house. By the way, a lot of times big houses cost lots of money, amen? Nice cars cost lots of money. You better be content with that jalopy you drove in here, amen? Hey, you better be content with that thing that's paid for, because you don't know the problems it is to have one of those things. Now, if God's, listen, there's nothing wrong with a nice car, nothing wrong with a nice home, but don't you let those things dictate your joy and your charity. Because I'm telling you right now, those that make lots of money have lots of bills. And sometimes the simple life, what God's blessed you with, is the best way to be. Don't you get your eyes set on so much of this worldly stuff that, hey, it just controls your life and you got to keep up with everybody in the neighborhood. Hey, there is not one ounce of joy in that. Quit envying and what everybody else has and get some charity. Get some charity. So charity cares. Charity's contentment. Number three, charity certainty. Look at last... I'm hastening. Look at it says, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth. So charity doesn't fail, friend. Charity never fails. Love never fails. When you love people, that's the greatest thing you can give them. You say, well, preacher, I could give you $50,000, I would rather you love me. Well, actually, man, actually, I just thought about that. I'm up here preaching. I'd rather have $50,000. You can go. I really would, but I still. The Lord just made me cough. He's like, you better watch it. You like, but I'll be honest. I want genuine love. Everybody in here wants genuine love. And by the way, you can't buy love. You know that. I believe it's what... It never fails. I know parents that have tried to love their children, but not love them like give them their heart. They literally tried to pay for everything those kids had and buy them the nicest cars and put them in the nicest schools with the nicest clothes, only for those kids to grow up one day and hate their parents or leave their parents and say, hey, you never genuinely loved me. But I've known some kids grow up in just a simple life and had hand-me-downs all through their life, had to wait a couple years on a car and all that. But man, they loved their parents. Because you can't buy love. You can't. You say, well, I want the best for my kids. I do too. But sometimes your best and their best is not God's best. Charity never faileth. It's always certain. Then I want you to notice number two, the things that are passing. Notice, and these last two points are not long at all, but I want you to notice verse 9. For we know in part and we prophesy in part, but when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know, even as also I am known. We see in verses 8 and 9, we see incomplete gifts. We see these gifts, they're now, of course, for that time, Paul said, but one day these gifts that was given are no longer going to be needed. They'll be incomplete. They're incomplete gifts. Then we see in verse 11, incomplete growth. Paul said, when I did not possess charity, he said, I was a child, immature. I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I was very immature and thought as a child. But when I became a man, when I put on charity, when I possessed love, genuine love, I put away childish things. Material things did not mean anything to me anymore. Isn't it wonderful and refreshing to get around somebody that is not eat up with materialism? They're not childish. They're not. Have you ever, you know, men that go through the midlife crisis stage? Nothing wrong with that. You know, but you'll see a guy and he's in his late 50s, early 60s, and all of a sudden he goes from that. You know, he's got grandchildren and he's, you know, that nothing wrong. But you'll come in and he'll have a Porsche. And all of a sudden he's wearing a tank top. Got some big chains. Going to the gym. trying to get the chest to come back out. And you see that and you're like, what happened to that guy? Oh, midlife crisis. Well, I know, but hold on a second. Now, I'm sure I don't know the scientific study on that. I'm sure there's some men that go through those things, feel like they're getting old, they have to be young again. I understand that. Nothing wrong with owning a Porsche. Nothing wrong with wearing a wife beater. Well, there is something wrong wearing a we call them that from you know, it's tank top, amen, whatever you want to call it. But there's nothing wrong with all. Listen, hold on a second. But when you're consumed with material possessions, it eats you up. I mean, you've got to work that extra. I've got to pay for that. Man, I've got to have it. Do you see what he got? Yeah, I saw. Man, you wait till you see what I get. I'm going to top that. You don't care what it costs. You're still childish. You're still throwing money away that you ought to be saving and ought to be doing. And by the way, a lot of the time, and I hate to plug this in there, but a lot of times your givers are people that live that simple life. That's your givers. I told you last week, it wasn't big chunks of money that was given and just certain people. I saw a lot of little envelopes that had $2 on it, $5. People just gave. It was just a... People gave out of the abundance of their increase. They gave out of their heart. Folks, that's maturity. Then we see incomplete glory. Look at verse 12. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know, even as also I am known. He said, one day we'll see. Hey, right now we can't see on the other side, but one day when that glass we can see and we see Jesus face to face and we'll know Him and we'll understand these trials, we'll understand why we went through this, and we won't see through that fogged up glass, dim glass. One day we'll understand everything and the reason for all this stuff. We'll understand it one day. I read a story last night about a little girl who her Sunday school teacher had suddenly passed away, and she was a little girl, maybe 6 or 7 years old. And a few weeks later, the little girl came into her mom, and she said, "Mom," she said, "I had a dream about my Sunday school teacher last night." And she said, "Mom, I dreamed that I died and went to heaven, and I met my Sunday school teacher right there at the pearly gates, and my Sunday school teacher started walking me through heaven. I met Peter, and I met Paul, and I met all the disciples, and I met Mary, and I met all these." And the mom looked at her and said, "Well, honey, that's wonderful." She said, "But what about Jesus?" And she said, "Oh, Mom, my teacher didn't have to introduce me to Him. I already knew who He was. I recognized Him the first time I got there." Isn't that wonderful? Hey, one day we'll know Him. We'll see Him face to face. Hey, nobody's going to have to say, "Yeah, and that's Jesus." Oh, we're going to know who it is. Why? He's going to be the one that everybody's worshiping. Hey, the one that shines brighter than everybody else. He is going to be the Son. And we understand that when we get to heaven. Then lastly, I want you to notice the things that are perfect. Look at verse number 10, and I'm done. "But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away." I've heard some preachers preach that and make it almost as sound as if that's the second coming of Christ. They preach it. Maybe Jesus is coming back. When that which is, we know Jesus, of course, is perfect. We know He's coming back. And they'll preach that. Boy, when He comes, then that which is in part shall be done away. And they make it sound. I've heard them actually say that involves the second coming of Christ. But I don't believe that. I believe in verse 10 we see talking about the Word of God, that perfect book. You understand, when Paul penned these words under inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God, the Word of God was not complete yet. But he was saying, "But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away." These tongues and all these other things, there won't be no need of that, because we'll have the canonized Scripture. It's all going to be done. All these prophesying, all this different, they'll all be done away when we got the Word of God. I mean, God's revelation to man, and we're going to have all of that. I believe it's talking about the perfect book. Hey, friend, you want to have charity this morning? A good start would be learning the Scriptures. You're looking at charity right here. God loved us so much, He gave us His Word. And it's a living book. It's a living and breathing book. I've told this story to you several times, but anytime I preach on the Bible or anytime I refer to the Word of God, I love this story. There's many of you new here, and you've maybe never heard it. Some of our folks have heard it, and I'm just going, as long as I'm pastor here, you're just going to hear it every now and then. Amen. But I had a good friend. He's now a pastor, but he worked for the Rock of Ages Prison Ministry and for years, and now he's pastoring. But he was down in Mississippi, and he was in a big old prison down there. They have mission. The Rock of Ages is a ministry that goes into the prisons and hands out Bibles and preaches. And so he went into this prison down in Mississippi. They were there for a few days, and they go into these prisons. They went into the special units. They went into the different ones. I'm talking about the worst criminals you could. I mean, they go into every section they possibly can go into. And he was going up into one of these tiers up into the high level prison, and he was handing out Bibles, Brother Chucky. He was just going in there handing out Bibles, but he could not force a Bible on anybody. They can't tell somebody to take it. The inmates have to ask for it. So he was handing out Bibles, and all of a sudden, he heard a voice behind him in a jail cell say, "Hey, Rev, can I have one of them Bibles?" He turned around, and he saw this man with his arm kind of stretched out through the bars. He said, "I want one of them Bibles." And the preacher said, "Well, sure, I'll give you a Bible." And he reached in his pocket, going to give him a New Testament. And the man said, "Hold on, preacher. Before you come and give me that Bible, I'm going to tell you what I'm going to do with it." He said, "I'm going to tear the pages out of that Bible and I'm going to roll my tobacco up and smoke it." The preacher said, "Well, I'm not giving you a Bible. You can rip the pages out of the Bible and roll your tobacco up and smoke it with God's Word. I'm not doing that. That's sacrilegious. That ain't right." He got disgusted by that man's, question, statement. So he turns around and he goes to leave, and all of a sudden the Holy Spirit prompts his heart and says, "I've got an idea. Go back and give that man a Bible under one condition." So that preacher turns around and he goes to give that man a Bible, but he says, "Sir, before I give you a Bible, I want you to do something with it before you smoke it, before you smoke the pages." The guy said, "What is it?" And he said, "I want you to read the page before you smoke it. Just read the page." The guy said, "Was that it?" And he said, "Yeah." And he said, "You got a promise." The guy, of course, made a promise there, of course, in prison. And, you got to wonder how long the promises were going to last if he was in prison. But he was in prison. And so he said, "I promise if I take the Bible, I'll read the page before I smoke it." So he left there. He was gone for a year. He said, "I was gone because we go to that same prison the same month of every year, the same week, because we have so many prisons we have to cover." And he had done forgot that he gave that man a Bible. He gave hundreds of people Bible in that prison. He goes up to that tier level and he walks up those same stairs and he's giving some more Bibles out to different inmates. And all of a sudden he hears a familiar voice behind him say, "Hey, Rev." Turns around and he looks, and that man said, "You remember me?" Preacher said, "I'm not sure I do." And he said, "I'm the one that asked you for that Bible last year. And I told you that if you give me that Bible, I was going to smoke the pages of God's Word with it." The preacher said, "Oh yeah, I remember." He said, "Preacher, I just want to let you know I did what you said." He said, I hate to say this, he said, "but I smoked a little bit of Matthew." He said, "Preacher, I actually smoked a little bit of Mark." And he said, "Preacher, I hate to admit it, but I smoked some of Luke." He said, "but by the time I got to John, I couldn't smoke John." He said, "I started reading in John that God loved me so much that He sent His only begotten Son, Jesus, to come and die for me." He said, "He lived a sinless life and did all them miracles for me and went to Calvary. And He died on that old rugged cross and He shed His blood." And he said, "Preacher, I couldn't smoke John." He said, "because 3 days later, that same Jesus got up from the grave and He rose for me." He said, "Preacher, I bowed my head beside my cot over there and asked Jesus Christ to save my soul." He said, "I couldn't smoke John." Hey, can I tell you that's the same Bible that you got today? You don't need no preacher to get up in front of you. You got the Word of God. Hey, Monday through Saturday or every day of the week, you ought to open up your Bible and read that living, breathing book, because it's just as alive today as it was thousands of years ago. Hey, it's a living book. It's a living book. The the power of God's Word. It's a perfect book. And then we see verse 13, and now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity. We see a proper behavior. See, I always wondered, and I'm done, but I always wondered, men, if you have those cards, would you, Brother Will, and some of you, and make it, try to make it as quick, maybe a couple other men, start passing out these cards and make it, get to it. There you go. And then Brother Daniel, if you'd help Brother Will and try to get, because I'm about to give invitation. Just help pass these cards out. Brother Will, give him a little stack. There you go. These little cards that I'm giving you, I want you to still listen to me. These little cards that I give to you this morning, these are the cards, the same cards that I was talking about. Just take them. I don't care if you have too many. You don't have to count them. Nobody can have too many. Take these cards. If you get one card or two cards or how many cards you get, I want you to take that card this week, and I want you to, if you get a card today, I want you to do something for somebody this week. I want you to, I don't know what it is. You say, preacher, what could it be? I don't know. God's going to ask the Lord to show you this week what it could be that you could show charity to somebody and have one of these cards, and maybe if it's a waitress or a waiter or a gas, maybe it's at a gas station, or maybe it's somewhere that you maybe see somebody in need or you find out, and you could leave a card there. You don't have to give it to them personally, but tell the person, hey, take this card, and when they go up here and they find out that their bill's been paid or that their whatever it is has been met, give them this card if you would, please. And let them know that somebody from Bible Baptist Church loves them enough and cares about them enough to show them charity. We're not putting our own personal names on there. What we're trying to do is make much of Jesus. Listen, we're trying to make much of Jesus. We're not trying to even build the church that way. I just want people in Simpsonville and the surrounding areas, in Gray Court, in Malden, in Woodruff, and in Fountain Inn, and in Greenville. I want the surrounding areas to know that there's a church down here on Harrison Bridge, hey, that loves people and has charity. Think about it. I thought in this last verse, in verse number 13, now about faith, hope, charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity. Brother Chuck, you always wondered, why was charity greater than faith and hope? And the Lord said, you know, faith and hope involve self. Your faith involves self. Hope involves self. Charity involves loving others. So you have to come out of your little box to have charity. You can't have charity for yourself. You can love yourself, and that's pride. A lot of times you can love, just be about yourself. That's not charity. That's pride. Charity involves loving others. I challenge you. You say, preacher, it feels like you're challenging us a little. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Challenging you this week to meet a need. Every time you see that card on the front, it says, I love my church. And yes, you ought to. But on the back, what it should say is, and I love the world. Not the things of the world. Not worldly possessions, if you will. But you love people, yellow, red, black, and white. They're precious in His sight. We ought to have